Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today we want to talk about avoidance and avoidant attachment styles. And the reason why we want to talk about this is because I feel like avoidance and avoidant attachment style has been coming up in a lot of relationships, which is actually not surprising because we have this entire generation that would be deemed to most as being soft and being a little too in tune with their emotions. And I feel like there's just been this really big imbalance happening amongst especially the younger generations, where, you know, parenting styles have obviously changed. And I think we have us millennials to thank for why parenting style has changed. But there's this whole movement of soft parenting. And I don't have children. Tiara does not have children. So in terms of the soft parenting, I mean, you do you. It's just, I've noticed that we've been raising a very interesting set of generations where they might be a little too in tune with their feelings, or there definitely has been a shift in their young adulthood into, what's the word I'm thinking of? There's been a shift into just the wounded masculine and wounded feminine. So when we're in our wounded place, we often become avoidant through our wounds because they're unhealed. And we've noticed that it has kind of filtered into our lives. Like, I had a person in my life who is an avoidant, and I will kind of want to talk about what it's like to have an avoidant in your life. And Tiara believes she is an avoidant, and she wants to talk about what it's like to be the avoidant. And so you're going to get two very different perspectives here, like a person that has an avoidant in their life versus a person who's actually the avoidant. And so there should be a lot of super interesting conversation on both ends of the spectrum.
So when we talk about being an avoidant, we're talking about attachment styles, right? And usually these attachment styles are things that you'll see play out in relationship dynamics. And there's different types. So I think there's four. There's secure.
I think there's more than four.
Yeah, I noticed that each of the categories have subcategories. And so, yeah, I think it gets long. The list gets long. But the ones that I'm most familiar with are the secure style, attachment style, the avoidant attachment style. I think there's an anxious attachment style. And then there is one more. And underneath those, there's like subcategories of attachment styles. So not to get confusing, it's just, I know that the whole attachment style concept kind of like blew up a couple of years ago, and they had like quizzes and things you could do to see what kind of attachment style are you. And everyone thinks that they're securely attached, which is like the one when you're balanced and you're healthy and you know what a healthy dynamic looks like and you're secure in yourself, which is like not nearly as many people out there that are that style that we think. I'd say that style is probably the most rare. I don't have figures. It's just, I don't think as many people are securely attached as they think they are, unfortunately. For a little bit, I did think I was securely attached too. Like, I was one of those people. And then as I did some more digging, I was like, no, that's not me at all. No, this other one over here, that's me for sure. Which it's very insightful, but it also tells you some interesting things about yourself, and especially about how you were reared in your upbringing. Because more or less, if you are not a securely attached individual, there's a good chance there's a lot of wounding there, and inner child wounding for sure. So just wanted to give you guys a heads up that that's the direction we're going. So it should be a fun conversation.
I've noticed a lot on social media, a lot of people talking about being with an avoidant. And I never really even considered that I had an avoidant in my life until things started shifting in our dynamic. And I realized that something was off, but I didn't really know. And the universe communicates with me through social media, specifically TikTok. And all of a sudden, I just see, you have a dismissive avoidant in your life. And I was like, a dismissive avoidant? What is that? And so I obviously found some TikToks and I started educating myself. And then I hit the internet and I was like, what is a dismissive avoidant? And I was like, whoa, like this person has so many of these traits. And I've just noticed that it's just becoming more and more prominent because so many of us are in the wounded feminine or the wounded masculine. And so the avoidant dynamic has just been on the rise amongst a lot of different relationships. And I was just like, you know, it's like as a person who has an avoidant in their life, I was just like, maybe I can shed some light on what it's like to be on the receiving end versus the person who actually is the avoidant. So to be clear, I did get permission from this person to talk about this. And I believe that he's two different types of avoidance. I believe that he is a dismissive avoidant, and I also believe that he's an emotional avoidant. And I will say, digging into this and talking to Tiara pre-recording, they all have very similar traits across the board. And so it's so interesting that there's so many different types of avoidance when basically if you read the definitions of them, they all kind of bleed into each other. And I'm just like, well, they could be 10 different types of avoidance because there's not a lot of very clear distinctions amongst all these subtypes of avoidance. And I can just speak personally on my opinion on what that's like to have an avoidant in your life. And I just want to say it's actually really, it's frustrating and it's complicated. And there's this push-pull dynamic between the two of you. And it's honestly emotionally taxing. It can be also very painful.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And it's this really weird dynamic because if you don't possess emotional intelligence, I would say that having an avoidant in your life actually becomes extremely painful. And the most important lesson I have taken out of my personal experience is you can't take it personally. And that's really hard to do.
So I just want to clarify that I looked again. The four attachment styles are secure, disorganized, insecure, and avoidant. You know, my perspective is coming from the side of the avoidant. So I am what I believe is an insecure avoidant. And it's interesting because in the past, I took like the attachment style quizzes and I would get these answers and they would never really resonate. And I think that's part of the reason why I thought I was a secure attachment, because I took some quiz that was like, you are mostly securely attached. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But as I did some more digging, I was like, no, that doesn't sound right. I think this is me. And the interesting thing about being an avoidant is that there's this sense of like hyper independence and distancing yourself in order to stay emotionally safe. And it more or less comes from coming from an upbringing where you did not receive emotional nurturing. So you kind of had to fend for yourself, right? And when you have to fend for yourself, you become hyper independent. And that stuff bleeds over into other aspects of your lives, including relationships. So one of the things that kind of tipped me off when it comes to maybe I'm the idea that maybe I'm an avoidant is something I've talked to Ali about before, about how I don't like intimacy in relationships, particularly I don't like being touched. And I was in a relationship for 10 years with an individual who was very affectionate and liked the touching and the stroking and stuff. But like when he did it to me, I would cringe. I was like, I don't like this. Do not stroke me. Do not touch me. Do not rub my back. I don't like it at all. Interestingly, he did. So I would do it to him, but it was like still that same feeling of just like cringe. Like, I know you like this, but this is weird to me. So I kept that in mind when I started doing some research about my attachment style. And that's actually an aspect of the avoidant attachment style. Like there's just like this rejection of intimacy, physical touch, especially for me. There's hyper independence. When things are difficult in the relationship, you check out. You check out of the relationship entirely. You often think the worst, well, we should just end this. We should just break up. You think that this person that you're in a relationship with doesn't really understand you. And of course they don't, because you're not emotionally open to them. So those are some of the things that like come up a little bit when it comes to the avoidant attachment style. Mine is insecure avoidance, which is slightly different, but you'll see similar things on both sides when we have the conversation and we continue to discuss.
I think people become avoidants for a bunch of different reasons. And, you know, I'm not really going to divulge any details about why I think this person in my life is an avoidant. That's not my business to share. But I will say that I do think a lot of it does stem from childhood. And, you know, it's just, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who grow up with emotionally neglect parents or narcissistic parents or maybe a single parent. And, you know, it's like you miss that either mother figure or father figure. There's so many different reasons why we become emotionally, like we emotionally withdraw from so many things that happened in our childhood, because it is painful to talk about, and we are children and we don't really know our minds and we don't know how to process those things. And so if we don't deal with them, they kind of bleed into our adulthood, and it really does affect our relationships. And I know for me, I'm not really an avoidant. I like to deal with things head on. I like to communicate through them because I've understand the importance of doing that. Now, I would say definitely in my early 20s, I was definitely more of an avoidant. Same as Tiara, I don't like being touched. Just like, why are you touching me? Don't touch me. But it takes time to like build that comfort and build, you know, those types of relationships. Now, the difference with me and the whole touching is like, if I feel really deeply connected to you, then I actually love that. It's just, Tiara has never gotten used to it, which I find to be really interesting between the difference between her and I. Like, Tiara knows, like, yeah, like, just if you're some random person, like, why are you touching me? Don't touch me. But it's like, once I build that relationship, then no, I absolutely love the intimacy part of the relationship. And I would say that's the huge difference between Tiara and myself when it comes to that. So I have been just exploring avoidance because I have this person in my life, and I just like, you know, it's just the first time I've been needing to navigate something like this. And I'm just like, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. It's just, you know, you need to have a lot of patience and you need to have a lot of understanding, and you can't take it personally. And I can tell you this, I have struggled with taking it personally, because when you're in a dynamic that's push-pull, it's like, it almost feels like that dating game that everyone hates. It's like the game of, well, you know, you don't want to push too hard and you don't want to come across as needy and you don't want to push them, because if you push them too far, then that's when they emotionally withdraw and then they disappear on you and then you don't know where you stand. And then it's just like, okay, so what is this? Where are we going? Are we going anywhere? And you always feel like you're in limbo, and that's extremely frustrating, and it's also extremely painful.
You know, I'm wondering if one of the major differences between a dismissive avoidance and an insecure avoidance is how they treat the relationship itself. Because for me, getting to know someone new was something I enjoyed. Like in my last long-term relationship, I enjoyed getting to know him and I enjoyed going out with him, and I wanted to be in that relationship. Like I did want those things. It's just, once I got into the relationship, I still felt a need to protect myself, like emotionally, mentally, in some regards. I felt a need to like distance myself from the relationship in some kind of way.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, in order to maintain my own autonomy, I don't know why, and it's hard to describe, but I did feel this sense of needing to like have my own things and my own friends and do my own stuff, like outside of the relationship itself. Like I didn't want to get lost in the relationship, as I know happens sometimes in connections. And maybe that's the insecure aspect of it, is this sense that like I'm going to lose myself in this connection. And another piece of it that might be a little different when it comes to the dismissive avoidance is that I didn't mind opening up to my partner in some degree, but like when it came to expressing my emotional needs or what I was feeling or, you know, something along those lines, that's when it was hard. Like when it came to how's my day, what did I do in my day? I didn't mind sharing any of those things. But when it came to like the more deeper emotional core stuff, that's when I was just like, that's for me only, and you go do something else. So I'm wondering if that might be one of the differences between the two. But yeah, it's like initial stages, I didn't really have too much of an issue or feel a need to avoid. In the relationship itself, it was more of that need for like autonomy that came up more frequently, if that makes sense.
So I will say that Tiara and I have been through a lot of this together. I mean, obviously, Tiara has been my rock, and I've spent a lot of time venting to her. And, you know, she would often say to me, she would just be like, avoidants are terrified of rejection. And I think a lot of the issues stem from being terrified of rejection. It's just like, okay, well, if I can just keep her in limbo, then, you know, it can be whatever I want it to be, even though it's not what it is. Like, it's like two people have two very different perspectives on what this is or what it can be or what it should be. And I have found, specifically in my connection, that I feel like because we don't talk about things, it's just in their mind, it's like, oh, well, this is just going to be whatever, you know, I imagine it to be. And because we don't talk about it, then cool. And like, I can stay in my comfort zone and I don't really have to go through those tough conversations and I don't have to face rejection. And I think Tiara was right when she brought that up to me. She was just like, I think avoidants have a really big fear over rejection. And I think that actually fuels a lot of that behavior. And I honestly think she was right.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the way it turned up for me, like that fear of rejection, is oftentimes if there was conflict in the connection or I had done something that, like, you know, maybe offended him or like hadn't listened or considered his needs the way I should have, he would bring it up. And to me, I felt like I was being judged, questioned, threatened, rejected just from that. And so one of the reasons why I did try to avoid those more complicated conversations and discussions is because I would feel that part of the reason or the need for it was me being rejected, which is, I know, crazy to think about and say, but that's honestly how it feels. So I do remember a specific conversation that we had around, we had this thing where I would like wash the dishes and then I would wash the knives, and I would sit the knives and the dish, what's it called? The dish rack?
The dish rack
to dry. And sometimes I would sit them so that the pointy ends were up. And to me, I mean, like, you know, just watch what you're doing. Like, yeah, the pointy sides are up, but they dry faster that way. And he had this thing and it was just like, bother him so much. Like, don't do that. Like, don't put them there that way because I could get injured, blah, blah, blah. And in my mind, I just thought it was stupid, right? Like, I didn't really consider his needs probably the way I should have. But he would bring it up over and over and over again. And eventually I felt like he had some type of issue with my methods of washing dishes and with me as a person, just from saying that, which at its core is not the case. He just wants me to understand his needs. But to me, I felt like, well, you've got some type of problem with the way I do things in this house. And if you've got some kind of problem, maybe you should say that more often. And why are we in this relationship? And that's just like what my mind does and did. So it's a really interesting, tricky thing to have to navigate, because now you have to think about what it means and how it looks to understand the needs of your partner in the relationship without taking it personal and without getting offended. And that's hard to do when you're stuck in some of these attachment styles. So that's kind of what it looked like on my end.
It's so interesting because I think we both are in scenarios like the person being the avoidant and the person trying to navigate being with an avoidant. It's wild because I think both sides actually feel like their needs are not being met. And that's something that I'm learning through this situation. Like hearing you talk about like what it's like to be an avoidant. And I was just like, huh. I think both sides, I know for me, I definitely feel like my needs were never being met, but it's interesting hearing the avoidance side of, well, you're not hearing my needs in return. And then it kind of causes this friction between the two, which is really interesting.
It is very interesting. And I often did feel like my needs were not being met. I mean, there were a couple of times where I did express that. Like I remember specifically when I had my awakening initially, and how I felt really lonely in the connection, and even expressing that to him that like, hey, I feel lonely and unsupported when it comes to this specific journey. Like, you don't seem to understand what I'm going through or how I'm navigating it or how hard it is. I did express that to him and he did seem to understand, or at least try to understand. I don't think he ever fully did, but he made it look like he was trying to understand. You know, someone who's avoidant might feel like their needs are not being met. Absolutely. Absolutely. And most of that is because we struggle with emotional expression and with expressing our emotional needs. So, of course, our needs are not going to be met in the connection because we're not saying what they are. Like, you know what I mean? So it almost ends up being like a self-sabotage.
Oh, I'm so happy that you brought up self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is definitely one of the characteristics of an avoidant, because I've also noticed that avoidants have this necessary need for control, and they try to control the scenario, they try to control the situation, they try to control the relationship, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's like, well, they have to play by my rules, and they do these funny maneuvers to make sure like that they keep you engaged, but they also can keep their distance at the exact same time. And they kind of, if you play into their game or if you enable that behavior, then you give them a sense of power. And once, and the more power that you kind of fuel them with, the worse the connection can actually get. And I've noticed that in my dynamic. It's like this person, you know, instead of just communicating their needs or communicating their emotions, it's just like the push pull. It's like, well, I'm going to pull away and I'm going to see if this person will eventually reach out to me because of the fear of rejection. Or it's just, it's really interesting, in my personal opinion, about how they maneuver and like how they can really kind of twist their reality and twist their situations to ensure that they stay in their comfort zone. And it's like, me, if I don't play the game right, then it's my fault. And in ways, sure, it is my fault, but also in ways, it's because, again, like, they don't want to be rejected, or they don't want to go out of their comfort zone. And you have to understand, on the person, the receiving end of that person, it, that's what I'm saying, it is really painful. And I have definitely had my fair share of frustrations within it. But at the same time, this is the problem with being emotionally intelligent. You understand where it comes from, and you understand that it comes from a wounded place. And so for me, it just becomes this push-pull within myself, because I know that they are good intentioned and they are a good person. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, but my needs are not being met, and I can't conversate with this person because they run from conversations. So it's just like, at some point you come to a pass where it's, you have to either continue to play into their insecurities, or you have to choose you. And it's frustrating, because, you know, it's like, when they do give you the good, when they are comfortable enough with you to give you a little bit something, and it's like they keep you on the hook, because it's like, okay, well, I can come back and I can be present for a little bit, but once it starts to get uncomfortable, then I'm going to run away again. And so navigating being on the receiving end of that is it's a roller coaster, and it's a complete mind game. And it's been a really interesting situation. And I've been slowly drawing conclusions, which we'll wrap up this episode with, like, the conclusions of, you know, where we stand. But I just find it super interesting, like, how it really does bleed into relationships and how it affects our relationships. And the reason why I want to bring awareness to this is because I just feel like it's been so prominent in the dating scene amongst many. And this is why people are actually struggling with dating, because there's all of this wounded energy, and it's trauma bonding, and it's push-pull, and it's confusing, and everyone's feelings are getting hurt in the process, and no one's really taking the time to learn and understand and find empathy and compassion. But you also have to balance that with proper boundaries and honoring yourself and drawing your own conclusions and sticking with those conclusions.
You know, first of all, from the perspective of an avoidant, I'm sorry that our tendencies are so destructive and so frustrating to deal with. And, you know, to this day, I'm not sure to what extent my former partner understood that I did have those avoidant traits and features, the insecure avoidant traits and features. I do know that it absolutely, definitely affected our relationship. And for that, I do take accountability, because, you know, it takes two to tango in a relationship often. Like, you know, we often, when a relationship ends, we'll talk about what this person did. But I know that I played a very strong role in that too. You know, I'm fortunate that I do have someone in my life that, you know, Allie mostly, can point out some of these particular behaviors and traits and features in myself. Because when you're in a relationship as an avoidant, you don't see yourself. Because I know for me specifically, the focus was always on protecting myself. Like, I always felt this need to protect myself, to guard my emotions, to shield that hurt from this individual. And I wouldn't say the rejection aspect came up as much. I do remember just, you know, I wanted to follow up a little bit on what you said about the way that avoidance manipulates. I do remember that, like, when the relationship was starting, that I wanted to be pursued and I wanted to be chased. And I've always had that tendency when it comes to relationships with men. Like, I just feel like, you know, you're the masculine, you pursue, I'm the feminine. I decide if I want to engage with you or not. I read the whole rules of dating book back in the day, which, like, just destroyed an entire generation of women. But that's what you were taught back in the day. Let the guy pursue, right? So whether or not a guy was interested in me was based on how much effort he would put into pursuing me. Like, that was my barometer. And, you know, this individual in particular did pursue. He pursued quite aggressively. And I remember being impressed by that. And I remember being like, oh, yeah, so he's actually interested in me because he's pursuing me. Okay, cool. I'll give him the time of day. And so I want to say that maybe when it comes to, like, some of that manipulation piece, that that was probably part of it, like me sort of leading him to pursue me using these specific rules from this book I had read years ago, which is so funny because in our relationship dynamic, I recognize often the ways he would manipulate me. But as I've had this thought about this dynamic a little bit more that I had with him, I'm just like, no, I did some manipulative stuff too. Maybe not to the same extent, but I did. So that's sort of what it looks like for me. I'm sure there's more examples in there if I can really think back to some of the ways that I was manipulative, but that was one that was very prominent.
Manipulation's a funny thing, and I think people do it whether they know that they're doing it or not. And, you know, it's a form of protecting ourselves. You know, it's just when...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We are so heavily wounded. We will always put ourselves first. And that's any type of trauma behavior, right? Because that's what trauma is. It's just we have been traumatized to whatever circumstance or whatever happened. And because we don't deal with it, because we don't heal it, our number one priority comes protecting ourselves at all cost. And we will always come first. And that's something that I feel is happening. Like, there's a lot of things happening in dating. You know, there's just, I saw this super, going off topic real quick, I saw this super interesting TikTok where, you know, this woman pointed out something and she was like, because of social media, social media has shed the light on some of the most attractive people on this planet, like some of the most attractive and beautiful men and women, both sides. And because we have been given so much access to these people, it has ruined it for, like, the average looking woman or male. And it hit home to me because I was like, that's so true. Because it's like, because social media has given us access to some of the most attractive people on this entire planet, it's like we create false narratives in our mind thinking like, oh, I can get that person. And so it distorts, it kind of weeds out, you know, maybe more of an average looking person or less than average looking person. And I didn't even think about that and how that really has shifted dating, like having access. It's like, you know, I've seen people talk about statistics on these dating apps like Bumble and Tinder, and they're just like, yeah, 99% of women go after this same 1% of guys. And so what does that do to the other 98% of men out there? And it's just like, so that's another dynamic why dating is what it is today. It's because somehow we have delusioned ourselves into thinking that we can have whatever we want and whoever we want. And therefore, our standards are so ridiculously high and no one's willing to lower their standards that it's kind of ruining it for everyone else. I feel like Tiara has something that she wants to chime in there.
I mean, so while we're on this topic, I have seen a lot about this too. And in particular, I have seen men talk about how this whole dynamic where we have online dating now and where all the women are dating and pursuing the same top stratosphere of men kind of distorts women's beliefs as far as their attractiveness. Now, I don't know that I fully believe this, but I could see it that I hate using the attractiveness scale, but we're just going to use it for simplicity's sake, that women who think that are in reality a 5 or 6, because of the distortions now with online dating, will go in thinking that they're like a 8 or 9, right? And they have these heightened standards that are so difficult for the average man to meet because of the way men now have more access to women online. I think also that this whole thing that they talk about with the male loneliness epidemic is contributing, because you have to understand that if you're a guy who doesn't get any, and maybe you're not dating, you might see a pretty girl online and be like, I'm going to simp that girl because what else do I have? Like, you know what I mean? So I think that there are women that are getting a lot of attention more than they used to, particularly through the lens of social media. It kind of builds their ego a little bit. And they go into these dating dynamics thinking that, you know, this guy needs to be this and he needs to be this and he needs to be this and he needs to be this. And I get attention from men. So that's what my standards are. So it's so much of a mess out there. I have also seen the opposite, where I have seen men who maybe aren't that high on the attractiveness scale, demeaning beautiful women, like demeaning them, like ripping them apart for not being perfect enough. So I think that we're seeing distortion on both sides in different ways. And that is why dating is such a mess right now. And that is why I do not bother. I have not bothered with dating. I've been single 2 years. And I'm just like, you know, I like this piece. That doesn't mean I'm not open to meeting someone. It's just, like, the online dating stuff is hard for me to deal with. Like, it's hard for me to deal with. I don't have time. That's just me. But for those of you guys who are out there navigating the dating scene, oh my God, my heart goes out to you. You guys are saints.
Well, I would say that this conversation trickles into this conversation about avoidance, because it's the more that people do put themselves out there and the more that people get rejected, it traumatizes you in certain ways. And then it's like, once you're rejected enough, then that's when these avoidant attachment styles definitely come into play on top of other wounding. So they do go hand in hand on why dating is such a mess and why we are seeing more and more avoidance come to surface and come to light, because it's all intertwined with each other, right? And so it's going to be really hard to correct this. I saw a TikTok of a guy who said he was specifically targeting women, but I believe that this also goes to men. We all need to start lowering our standards, or we are doomed as a society, as humanity. And I can't say that I disagree with that person. Like, thank you for calling everyone out. Well, you were specifically calling out women, but I'm calling out men too. Like, we all need to start lowering our standards, because I do feel like social media has played a very big role on setting unrealistic expectations across the board when it comes to dating.
Oh, yes. No, I 100% agree. And to my part, like, I've never really had the highest standards.
That is Allie true.
Allie would know. Allie would know. As a matter of fact, I've actually had considered, should I be increasing my standards? Now, I'm demisexual, and which is an individual who needs an emotional connection. I also need chemistry and an emotional connection to feel an attraction to someone, particularly a sexual attraction. Because if those two things are not there, like, my body is just nope. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I know what I need. That's just me. So that kind of contributes to my hesitancy when it comes to dating, because I know what I need and I know how hard that is to find. That is very, very hard to find. It has always been hard for me to find. But like, I do think that there is some absolute truth to people needing to lower their standards, because I feel like standards today that some of these women have border on delulu. Like, you want a guy who's 6'5", he makes $200,000 a year, he's mentally stable and emotionally balanced, and you think you're going to find that anywhere in 2025? Like, I just, I feel like women have a checklist, and I'm like, well, at what part on that checklist do you consider things like, we have similar values, we have things in common, we have chemistry, we have an emotional
connection.
We're
compatible.
We're compatible. Like, where is that? Like, it's just so surface and superficial. And if I were a guy, I would be so frustrated. So I get a lot of the men who are stepping back and saying, nah, these standards are crazy and we ain't trying to be all that. I get it. So yeah, it's a mess out there right now. So that's why I said earlier, hey, if you're navigating the dating scene and it's working out for you, kudos to you. Maybe you can teach me some things.
Absolutely. But I think that this, our standards also play a really big role into why people become avoidant and why avoidance behaviors become prominent within people, within themselves, because of the standards, because of fear of rejection, because of their childhood, because maybe emotional neglect. And honestly, I would say one way to fix it is by learning to communicate your needs. Like, it's okay to know what you want. It's okay to communicate your needs. And it's just, people are so afraid to do that because, unfortunately, we also live in a society where people look down on that and they're also judgmental towards that. And when we look down on you or when we judge you for it, then obviously you're gonna take offense to that and be like, okay, the lesson I just learned from that, from a person judging me for expressing my needs, is don't talk about my needs. And then I won't have to be judged and I don't have to face ridicule. And that's what they learn. That's the lesson that they learn from it. And it's like, the more that we discourage, judge, the more that we criticize, it's like, you have to understand, it's like every human interaction, we are not helping people. And this is why society as a whole is falling apart. And this is why we are developing so many insecurities when it comes to relationships. And it doesn't have to be romantic relationships. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about relationships with your family, relationships at the workplace. It's just like, you know, you can't express your needs at work because, you know, it's like, well, this is how we've always done it, and we're not open to new ideas right now, which then suppresses and it makes you feel like, okay, well, you know, I can't really contribute anything here at work, and you feel like crap for it. Or it's like within family dynamics, it's just family can be so quick to judge you. And it's like, and like, because like your family, they just have no filter sometimes, and they just say, well, like, grow up or get over it or let it go. And it's just like, okay, I'm not saying that I don't need to let it go, but you don't understand the impact that it had on me. And, you know, it's like people don't take the time to listen or care. And then it's just like, what type of lessons are we taking from all this ridicule and criticism and judgment? We are taking the lesson of, it is not safe to express our needs. It is not safe to be vulnerable. It is not safe to let people get too close to me. And I would say that these are all contributing factors to what is happening as like what is happening across the board when it comes to any type of relationships. But I understand why avoidance is on the rise because of all of these different things. It's like they don't feel safe. And so if you cannot create a safe environment with whoever you are with and you want to get more emotionally connected or deep or have a deeper connection with that person, if they do not feel safe with you, they will absolutely never let you in. And sometimes that's a really harsh and hard pill to swallow, knowing that you have not created a safe enough environment for them to get vulnerable with you. And that's when you have to start asking yourself, do I want to invest any more time or energy into this connection? And that's when you have to really start to have those tough conversations with yourself and say to yourself, it's time to give this up.
That's a conversation I did have to have in my prior long-term relationship. Is, you know, I did notice that I struggled with being honestly emotionally expressive, particularly when it came to my journey. And it was more or less because he didn't fully understand. And then I would often feel misunderstood or judged. And so it sort of reinforced that desire in me to keep everything to myself. And that's very isolating. It's absolutely isolating. So when you're in a relationship dynamic and you are with an avoidance, the avoidant may oftentimes feel isolated within the connection, and that's just their fault because they're not being honestly and openly authentic about their needs. I don't know why that's such a kryptonite for the avoidance. Like, authentic emotional expression is the avoidance kryptonite. Like, no.
Rejection.
Right, fear, right.
Rejection.
Yeah, it is a fear of rejection. It absolutely is at its core. But to get over that fear is also very, very scary. And it's daunting because, you know, once you get to that place where you're like, okay, I'm going to open up and let this person see this piece of me, now you're opening yourself up to rejection, and you're opening up yourself to exposing that inner wounded child. And that's a lot to deal with in the context of a relationship. Now, I would personally recommend for someone who recognizes that they do have avoidant tendencies and they're in a connection to consider talking to someone, whether that's a therapist or a counselor or a psychiatrist or a coach, just someone that you can work with to help you navigate through the fears you have of being honestly and authentically expressive. Because honestly, like, if you can't do that in a relationship or a connection, the relationship's not going to last anyway, at least in my opinion. You know, I know that my partner at the time also struggled with that, with being honestly and emotionally expressive. And, you know, we did on occasion open up that way. It was just, we both had separate woundings that came from different places. And I do think that in different ways, we did guard ourselves and protect ourselves emotionally in our own intimate relationship, which is crazy when you think about it. Like, it's crazy to go into a connection with someone that you're attracted to and that you trust, and then not feel safe to express anything you need. Like, it's weird, but this is what we do. We do it all the time. We do it every day.
You guys do it every day. And it's really hard being the person on the receiving end, because it's like, you know, you just never know where you stand with an avoidant, and you just never know, you know, it's like you being on the receiving end. I can tell you, like, the only thing I ever wanted was for that person to open up and let me in, and you can't force it. And, you know, it's like, God, if we could force it, life would just be so much easier with an avoidant, but you can't. And all you can do is have patience and compassion, empathy. And honestly, after a while, that just wears and tears. And I would say that that's an avoidance kryptonite. It's like, you know, it's like, how long the avoidance, just thinking like, how long can I maintain this, but still have all of my comforts and I don't have to give anything? And being on the receiving end, you have to be that person that's like, how much time, compassion, energy, empathy are you going to have for this person until you realize you're just not the right person? Or you might be the right person for them. But at the same time, it's like, avoidance will practically almost always put themselves first. They will put their needs above theirs. And ultimately, that's just self-sabotaging behavior. And I don't know how many avoidants realize that. I don't know. I just don't know, being an avoidant, because I'm not one. I just don't know, like, when do you realize, if an avoidant even realizes, like, I had something really good and it was because of my behaviors and putting myself first all the time and wanting to keep myself safe and stay in my comfort zone that I ruined something really potentially great. And I think that's something that, I think if you're the right person, I think every avoidant will come to that eventually. But I have also seen that some avoidants have said, like, I still haven't learned that lesson because I haven't really found that person that makes me feel like, oh, I self-sabotage that. Because ultimately, it is self-sabotaging behavior. But I just don't know if they ever realize that they're the ones having that self-sabotage behavior.
I can't speak for all avoidants, but I can say for myself, absolutely not. But I got there and it required someone else pointing it out to me. And so I think that that's probably not unusual with most avoidants, is they may need to have someone point that out to them. Because again, from our perspective, we're just protecting ourselves and, you know, keeping a healthy distance and making sure nobody gets hurt, especially ourselves. So I can think of a specific circumstance where it was like the very beginning phases of the connection that was all great and dandy for the most part. Like there weren't any issues, you know, we vibed, we had a great connection, and I did withdraw. And at the time, my excuse was that I don't do long distance relationships. Now it's really complicated because I don't. And at the time I didn't, but I probably could have yielded to the connection and even done the long distance thing. I think what I did ultimately was I got scared and used that as an excuse to not pursue the connection further. So you might see something like that, where like an avoidant who's really interested might come up with an excuse to buffer the reason why they're not interested in pursuing further, which is usually because they're scared in some way of the depth of emotional intimacy.
Oh yeah. And I would say that most avoidants use "I'm busy." I hate that one. I mean, most men use it, period, but avoidants particularly like hammer that one home.
See, I always saw that as "I'm not interested." Like when they say, "Oh, I'm busy," or "I don't have time," I always thought it was just, "Oh, well, you're not interested," and that's your excuse.
No, I it doesn't mean it. And not in every case, I wouldn't say it means I'm not interested. I think it also means like, A, I'm actually really busy, and that's true. Or B, it's an avoidant tactic.
Very interesting. God forbid someone just come out and say, "Hey, I'm not interested." Like, that's so hard for some reason.
Again, rejection, fear of confrontation. It's many things. It's many, many, many things. And I'm just saying, like, if we all learned how to communicate properly, we would be doing much better as a society.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that I think technology has sort of dampened our ability to communicate authentically the way we used to. Because I know that there was a point in time where we didn't have this level of communication issue. Everyone has their opinion on that. It's just sad that this is where we are in 2025.
Well, technology has made it really easy to just not text back. Ghosting. Like just send an emoji instead of actual words. It's like technology has really, it has definitely played a role. And same with social media and these dating apps. It's like, there's not even dating apps anymore. It's literally a popularity contest. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty much.
Like, it's
pretty much.
Technology in a lot of ways has it's ruined humanity at its core, because before it was like, we just had telephones, and it's like the only way we communicate was either seeing each other or even talking on the phone. It's like you either have to physically go see that person to talk to them, or you can talk to them on the telephone. There was no text messaging. There was no emojis. There was no like the ability just to ghost. It's like, oh my God, I can't even begin to tell you how poorly people don't even know how to talk anymore or write anymore. It's just like everything is like abbreviated. And I'm just like, it's like the human language has also lost its essence. And like all of these things have contributed to why it's literally a mess out there. And we need to just start healing. We need to start conversating, and we need to start healing, and we need to stop running from ourselves, and we need to stop self-sabotaging. Because if we continue these patterns, then yeah, we are really doomed. They, you know, and it's like, it shows in statistics. Why do you think they keep yelling at us to all have children? I mean, one, a lot of us can't afford it. Okay. That's an obvious reason. But number two, no one's also having children because no one's dating, because we are not procreating. We are not, you know what I'm saying? We are not interacting with each other. It's like they have divided us. And it's so interesting because they created the division, and now they're like yelling at us to,
I know,
like, get our act together and have kids.
I know, it's ridiculous. And I have seen some of the statistics on that, like something like 50 or 60% of men under 25 are celibate or like not dating.
Yeah.
And I was just like, when did it get that high? Because when I was in my 20s, like there were horn dogs everywhere, and like it was just like everyone was having sex all over the place, and I was a square, so I was just like, ew. But that's what everyone was doing that I knew of, and I'm just like, dang, when did we get here? That's insane.
But women are too. Like, I have seen it. Like, I commend these women that's like, you know what, I'm 32 and still a virgin. And I'm just like, that is so not a thing of our generation at all. Like, our generation, we were the drinking generation. We were the partying generation. And we were probably one of the most, rowdy generations.
Oh, we knew how to have a good time. And it is
promiscuous. We were one of the most promiscuous generations.
I would say probably us and Gen X. And I don't know a millennial.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, they were whores. I don't know if there are any millennials. And I've never met one, a female millennial, who has never had a whore phase. Like, if you're a millennial and you're a woman, there's a good chance you have had that phase. And it was celebrated amongst the millennial culture. Like, go ahead, girl. That's right. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. This is why we were probably one of the most promiscuous. But no, Gen X absolutely was, too.
I think they got a speed. For sure. They might have a speed.
But poor Gen Z, I'm just like, what do you mean none of you have, you know, been intimate?
I don't know. What's that like? I mean, I'm not, okay, I can kind of have some solidarity because I'm not intimate right now. I'm celibate now. So I, you know, but that's by choice. And I think a lot of these people, it's not by choice. And so I'm just like, man, like, what are you guys doing? Are you just waiting for the sex robots to come out so that you can at least get something going for yourselves? Like, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. But we just wanted to shed some light on what it's like, you know, the avoidant dynamic, what it's like to be the avoidant, and also being on the receiving end of being an avoidant. And I would honestly say the conclusion is, you know, if you really truly care about that person, and if you understand the circumstances, and if you're willing to have that patience and compassion, then I find that really admirable. But, you know, just if you're going to stay in those situations, you really have to learn not to take it personally. But I also want to spread caution that the other person on the other end may never come around. And I just think that that's really important to spread that message, because I've seen recovering avoidance on TikTok, and he'll even say that he was just like, sadly, we will always put ourselves first, and that can be really painful to the other person. And I have experienced that. So I know what that's like. But, you know, I think it's important that you have solid boundaries and you stay true to yourself with whatever you decide. But I do think it is important that you understand that person might never come around. And I think that is a very hard truth to the receiving person, but I do think it's a truth that needs to be addressed.
Agreed. And, you know, as you said earlier too, it's just, it's really important to not take the avoidance behaviors personal. It's not about you at the end of the day. Like, it might seem like it is, but it's not. And we're so sorry if we hurt your feelings. We're just hurt too, and hurt people, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So I hope you guys find some valuable information in this in terms of like how the dating scene, I mean, we've done other dating episodes before, but really how it really has shifted, but how we are actually creating more avoidance in the process. Because I just feel like the avoidant scene is completely on the rise. And I have seen more people coming out and talking about it, because there are people who actually want genuine connection out there, and people who don't want to be single. And even for financial reasons, like it's kind of, it's going to be playing into our survival coming up here, that, you know, anyone who has been in a relationship and has had two incomes knows that life is much easier, even on a financial level, when it comes to inflation in 2025. And so, you know, we're stronger together. And I understand those people wanting relationships. It's just, there's been too many things that have played a role into why dating is a mess. And I just question, is it too far gone, and can we ever get it back? And if we can ever get it back, then both genders need to do massive shifts. And I just don't know if we'll get there.
Well, you know, one of the solutions in 2025 now is the lavender marriage. Just marry someone for the benefit and perks of having two incomes, and then you can bang someone else on the side. And yes, that's a thing. And yes, I see it becoming more and more prominent.
It's true. It's true. So I just want to thank everyone. I hope, like, if you guys, if any of you are avoidant or with an avoidant, then I hope you guys learn something from this. You know, I've learned a lot from it being on the receiving end. And Tiara actually has taught me a lot being the avoidant herself. And so it's been an interesting perspective on how to navigate it. And that's just my number one tip. You can't take it personal, and know that the other side, they might never ever come around. And my heart goes out to you.
Mine does as well.
So I hope everyone has a fantastic week, and thank you guys so much for tuning in.
All right. Thanks, you guys.